that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, and they just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
We got another day of NBA action. And with FanDuel, every night is a watch party. So it's time for your FanDuel crew to make their bets. So, what's the move tonight, gang? You know the new customers who bet $5 get $150 back in bonus bets? Woo-hoo, we're heating up, fam. Bet all the stars with all your friends and make every moment more, only on FanDuel. New customers bet $5, get $150 back in bonus bets. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
It goes down in the DM. It go down in the DM.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Is loaded and one out.
Marcus, oh my God!
Deep to right field, way up there and way out of here. Second deck walk-off home run. Grand slam.
What is going on? Mike Curlin here, joined with my buddy George. You can follow us on Twitter at Mike_Curlin. George is at Roto_Nino. George,
what's up, man?
We're live. We haven't gone live in a long time. We haven't even
recorded.
Yeah. We haven't podcasted in a long time. We're slacking, dude. What are we doing?
Been busy.
I feel like we always say that.
Working.
We always find ways to be busy. But yeah, we're here to talk some baseball tonight. But I think, beyond baseball, just how you doing, man? Again, we haven't talked in a minute. How's everything NBC going, man? I know you're staying busy over at Sports Edge. You got any work coming out?
It's good, man. Yeah, it's good. Like you said, just busy. Staying real busy between work and
work,
you know, my shifts. Yeah. work.
Right? Yeah. Well, we're going to take a little break to talk more baseball tonight. We're going to talk. Mike Trout is obviously out for 6 to 8 weeks. We'll talk about some possible. There's no such thing as replacing Mike Trout. Can we make that very clear? Very, very right up front. No replacing Mike Trout. It just ain't going to happen. But we'll look at the waiver wire. We'll look at Yahoo. Maybe look at guys, I don't know, under 30%. Roster that we can maybe piece together Frankenstein, if you will, Mike Trout. Other than that, we're going to talk about breakouts, like early season breakouts, guys that are performing possibly over their head, or guys that we're buying into them. We're just going to talk about the early season happenings of a few guys and how much we buy in and if we are in on it. So let's talk the Mike Trout stuff, man. Like 6 to 8 weeks, he didn't even look like I don't even know where he hurt himself. He was like trotting from second to third. Next thing you know, we find out he's out for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
Do you have any Mike Trout shares?
I have one in a dynasty league, but none.
That doesn't count.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't take any Mike Trout this year in the first round.
I have one share. He fell to me at like the 10th overall pick, and I still would do it again today. Well, maybe not knowing that he's 6 to 8 weeks. But how about this? Before we dive in a few names, would you buy low on Mike Trout right now? If you're in a good spot, sitting top three in your league, you're in a league that trades, would you go out and try to acquire him? Because this is your one time to get a discount. He's going to be 80 cents on the dollar because he's missing upwards of 2 months.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he was hitting
ridiculous.
Like better than, yeah, he was ridiculous, hitting .333, 8 home runs. I mean, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's such a bummer that he's going to be out for the next 2 months. But yeah, I mean, he was, again, as usual, one of the best hitters in baseball.
As usual, unfortunately, it didn't, unfortunately, it was a crappy injury. It's just a fluke injury. But, okay, how about a guy we're going to talk about a little bit tonight? Jazz Chisholm just got activated off the IL, has a stolen base since then, has hit a home run tonight. Would you trade Jazz Chisholm for Mike Trout right now?
Oh, man, see, that's that's tough because, you're missing out on
2 months.
Up to 2 months of Mike Trout. And you got Jazz Chisholm, who's playing, you know, probably like a top 30 player right now.
But do you buy? I mean, again, we're going to look into it more, but do you buy that? Like, do you think he's going to sustain that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to hit close to 300 or about 300 like he's hitting right now. As far as like fantasy value wise, I mean, if he's on pace to have like a 20-30 season, that's hard to let go of, you know, even for, you know, Mike Trout, who you can get, you know, 2 months later. I don't know. I think right now I'm holding on to Jazz
and
in that scenario.
Yeah, I see. I depends. It depends. It really does depend. It's team context. Shallow leagues, deeper leagues. Deeper leagues, you might need to hold on to Jazz because you can't afford to wait on Trout. But if you're in a 10 or a 12 teamer and you're sitting in first, second, or third, you've been without Jazz for what, 2 weeks now? Like roughly, give or take? Can you, at this point, if you're sustaining that good of a pace without him, you could probably get by without him. I would do it in a shallower league, but in a deeper league, it's a lot harder to come up with those stats. You can't just find those off the waiver wire. And that's part of the problem. So I think I would do it in a shallow. Again, I'm being a little cheap going shallow versus deep league, but I think it's doable in a shallow league. But I'm looking at the waiver wire right now in Yahoo leagues. Guys under 30% roster, trying to get realistic in terms of who you could replace Trout with. And there are not many options, unfortunately.
I think it's easier to trade for him like in a head-to-head league where like once you get him back, like you're not banking on these stats, right? Like once you get him back, you'll have him for, you know, August and then the playoffs and stuff. So I think it's like if you have that surplus in a shallow league and you can make that trade and you want to stash him, it's easier to do in a head-to-head for me. In a roto league, it's hard to think like, you know, Jazz can hit 15 home runs and still 20 bases, and you know you're giving that away for 2 months, maybe a month and a half to 2 months, you know, to end the season of Mike Trout. So in a head-to-head league, for sure.
I'm just, again, going back to the waiver wire guys that you could target off the waiver wire that, again, there is no such thing as replacing Mike Trout, but just some guys with opportunity, some playing time, guys that might give you a little bit of power, have a chance to chip in some speed. Two names that pop up in my mind right away when I look at this, both of which are 19% roster in Yahoo leagues, are Austin Hayes and Manuel Margot. These are, again, we're going to have to go deeper for the deeper format. Okay, let's be honest. Anything beyond a 12-teamer, it's going to be impossible to replace Mike Trout with the waiver wire. Look at TGFBI. Look anywhere else. You can't at all replace Mike Trout that deep league. So, but anyways, back to this. Hayes and Margot, both of them back towards the top of the lineup. Margot offering more of a power-speed combination, 4-4 on the year. Batting .269 over the last week with a home run, 5 RBIs. Hayes, kind of the same deal. He's batting second with regularity. Batting .273 over the last 2 weeks, just with one home run, so the power isn't showing up, but we know it's there. Camden is about to warm up, so with that, the ball should start flying more. As long as Austin Hayes is hitting, you know he's going to get some of those hits are going to turn into home runs, especially as we get into the summer months. But beyond those two, it gets kind of bleak.
The first guy that came to mind for me that might be available in shallower leagues, Willie Calhoun. Been a big Willie Calhoun guy. He's a 16% rostered. I don't know why he should be a lot more rostered than that. Only 16%. Had a home run and double yesterday off of Garrett Cole. Has another double today. Batting leadoff against right-handers. He'll move down the lineup against lefties, or he might sit a game or two here and there against left-handed pitchers. But for the most part, he's playing and leading off and hitting well right now. Only rostered in 60%. So Willie Calhoun was the first name that came to mind. Another guy that I'm looking at here, maybe someone like Avisel Garcia. 28% rostered.
He's so hit or miss. Avi Garcia is so hit or miss, man.
Yeah.
It feels like.
Yeah, so, yeah, no, for sure. But, yeah, I mean, it, like you said, there's no replacing Mike Trout. And it just feels like, man, trying to cover for these injuries this year has just been crazy. It's been tough. Injuries everywhere.
It's just like every time someone gets injured, it's like another one bites the dust. The song literally pops into my head every time we get another injury. It's pretty ridiculous. But again, for those watching, I appreciate you guys checking us out on Twitter. You could definitely see us. But if you want to comment, if you want to chime in, if you want to ask your fantasy questions, hit us up on Twitch. You can find the link in my bio. It's my personal Twitch, of course, because I don't share George. But it's a twitch.tv/sleepyk_MLB. It's a mouthful. It's on the Twitter. It's on the timeline. Wick asks, this is a guy who actually pops into my streams a lot. What are you doing? What is this? What we do, Wick, part of what we do here is I mentioned I do fantasy baseball. This is the podcast I host. We are just doing it live today instead of keeping it strictly behind the scenes. So a couple more names to consider, and then we'll move on to some of the breakouts, some of the early season success guys. Zach McKinstry should be back. He's doing some rehab games. So Zach McKinstry is a guy that before going on the IL, 3 home runs, 14 RBIs, batting .296, should play every day just about, with the Dodgers kind of a mess right now with injuries between Seager. I know Bellinger's returning, but still, I think McKinstry's going to find himself into some everyday playing time. Pollock is out as well. And Josh Harrison, another guy that's just been quietly solid. It's been pretty much empty batting average over the last week, .318. But, you know, he has 3 home runs and a steal in the season. Deeper league guy. Just kind of, but again, it is what it is. I think McKinstry's going to be the most interesting of those names. So, moving on to some guys that are breaking out. Can we just talk about Chris Bryant? What the heck has gotten into him? I'm wondering if Chris Bryant is a guy that with the new ball, with his hit tool, it benefits him because the ball, he doesn't need to hit the ball hard to have success. But I say that the guy has 10 home runs. Let me repeat that. Chris Bryant has 10 home runs and we're halfway through May. He had 31 in 2019 with a juice ball. He's en route to pretty much top that. Like it's interesting. He's actually pretty much on pace for that roughly, right? Give or take a little more, but still, are we seeing the resurgent in Chris Bryant? Well, he's also batting .301, .392, .625 in the process. A 172 WRC plus, which is by far his career best at this point. George? Oh, lost George. Cool. So until he rejoins me, I'll talk about Chris Bryant. So when you look at Chris Bryant, the outlier, and just in terms of WRC plus, is 77. Like, obviously, the guy has always been at least 125 or better WRC plus guy. Actually, 126. So he's always been above average. The guy's hit tool is, he's known for, he has a good hit tool. He just does. Last year in 2020, that everyone's holding on to, not only was he, it was injury plagued, but you also have a 27.2% strikeout rate and a 8.2% walk rate for Chris Bryant. So this year he comes back, he fixes the strikeouts, getting it back down to 24.7% right now while walking more, again, closer to his career norms. Right now he's at 12%. His career normal is 11.7%. So Chris Bryant is kind of getting back to form. And being healthy might have just, and getting back to a regular season, combining the two might have been all the doctor ordered, you know? So Chris Bryant's a guy that I really think, I got to say, I think I'm buying back in that he's just who we thought he was prior to 2020, that he's solid. And now the power is interesting because normally Bryant's a guy that doesn't really depend on hitting the ball hard or barreling the ball a ton. He's always done well with like the blue sliders. You know what I mean? Like Statcast stuff wasn't always his like forte. You would go on his page, it would be blue often, but he would still perform. Chris Bryant, though, now his sliders are actually red. So you scroll down a little bit. What's different? He's actually decreased his launch angle to the lowest of his career at 14.2 degrees. And by doing so, he's actually increased his barrel rate to the highest of his career to this point at 16.3%. So he decreased the amount of launch angle he's getting on his balls, but he's making better quality of contact. So there's give and take there. And with that better quality of contact, you're seeing Chris Bryant is making more of an impact. I'm trying to pull up his, where did I look? There it is. So, and he's also, even though the launch angle is down, Bryant still has the highest fly ball rate since 2017. And he's pulling the ball more than last year. So you combine putting the ball in the air more with pulling the ball more, and Chris Bryant is getting the power numbers with it. So he's pulling the ball more, he's putting the ball in the air more, and Chris Bryant is also barreling more. It all comes together for the power production that we are seeing. So right now, this is turning into a solo. George is working his way back. And yeah, Wick, you are right. Zunino's on a tear right now. I have to look more into him another day. But we're going to turn to the next guy here. Because again, wait on George to get back. I lost. Of course, I would lose him tonight. We're going to talk next about some. Let's talk about Ohtani, dude. This guy has been ridiculous. Shohei Ohtani just having himself a year on both sides of the ball, but specifically on offense. 13 home runs, 6 stolen bases. He's doing this while striking out almost 30% of the time. This strikeout rate gives me apprehension in terms of just, but I don't know. It can give me apprehension. And he's, yes, the batting average for Ohtani is only 263 with a 297 BABIP. but he's not striking out a lot. It doesn't matter because when he hits the ball, it goes. And that's all you really care about. And like I said, do we really care about his pitching right now? Not really. I mean, let's be honest. Unless you're in a daily league, you're not using what you can't use him as a pitcher. But you definitely can use him as a hitter. And Ohtani is absolutely demolishing the ball right now. And although the strikeout rate is a problem, and that is a reason for concern in terms of the batting average, the power is legit. Ohtani has consistently put up a double-digit barrel rate. And did Ohtani home run today? Someone just told me. I haven't looked at box scores yet tonight. Someone just chimed in that Ohtani hit a home run. So if Ohtani, did Ohtani hit a home run today? Do you know, George? Welcome back
to
the show.
Yes, he did. Yeah, sorry about
so
that, man.
14 home runs. Right, of course it did. It's okay, though. We're back live. Good thing I'm comfortable talking to myself for hours. But yeah, I'm just talking about Ohtani right now and how the dude strikes out almost 30% of the time and it doesn't matter. And that's a very rare thing to find in a player. And Ohtani, again, he has 14 home runs, including tonight. And that's the thing I was going to watch. How does Ohtani perform with Trout out of the lineup? Can hitters attack him differently? Do they have to pitch to him at all? Like, can they just avoid him, go to Rendon, right? Like, I haven't looked at much of the lineups or anything yet, but with Ohtani, I just want to see how he performs without Trout. But hitting a home run is definitely a positive sign. But other than the batting average, Ohtani crushes. I mean, his launch angle is back up to what it was. Actually, it's the highest of its career, so it's probably part of the swing and miss issues. It's a little bit of an extreme launch angle compared to his career norms. Ohtani sits around 9.2, 6.8, and 12.3 in the previous three seasons. His launch angle is up to 17.3 degrees. But with it, by far the highest max exit velocity. I know max exit velocity and hard hit rates are up across the board, but max exit velocity of 119 miles per hour, that's not on accident. Like, I don't care if it's up across the board. That's ridiculous. The barrel rate's at 21.2% and the sweet spot percentage at 29.8. So sweet spot percentage is actually down a little bit, but the barrel rate is up to a career high 21.2%. And that comes with a career 14.6 barrel rate for Ohtani. So Ohtani is doing Ohtani things, and pitchers have adapted. They've thrown Ohtani less fastballs, more breaking balls this year. And he's still hitting. He's slightly overperforming against breaking balls, but he's slightly underperforming against fastballs. So there's some give and take going on there. He's also overperforming against off speed. But again, when you're batting, when you have a strikeout rate near 30%, I'm expecting the batting average to kind of drop a little bit. But even if it hits 240, the speed is legit. The power is legit. We've seen this combination all through his career. Even in a down 2020 where Ohtani hit 190, Ohtani still gave us 7 home runs and 7 stolen bases. 2019, 18 and 12. And 2018, 22 and 10. So he's going to give you, we're going to do double digits here. Sorry, did I say 19 and 12? I meant 13 and 6 in 2021. I was looking at his zips on accident. So yeah, Ohtani. Power, speed, I'm in on the hitter. I haven't looked at we haven't even talked about the pitcher yet, but do you think this is legit and sustainable for Ohtani?
Yeah. I mean, we've been seeing it. We've been seeing it since he came into the league. He's been hitting the ball hard. So, he's been an absolute steal. I wish I had more shares of Ohtani.
Me too. I didn't even get a chance to talk about him because I was so busy just like in all of his numbers because the dude is just a stud, man. And unfortunately, though, the only bad thing is with Ohtani, again, is that strikeout rate. But there's give and take here because he also, again, going back to the launch angle change, it's increased his fly ball rate to a career high 43.7%. So with his power, his natural power, and his ability to barrel up the ball, getting the ball in the air more will lead to home runs. 14 home runs shouldn't surprise anybody for Ohtani, given the fact that he pulls the ball and puts the ball to center and right and pull side more often than not. And he gets the ball in the air a lot. And the quality of contact is there. It all comes together. The power is legit. But But that batting average scares me. I think there's a floor there of like 240. And if that's the case, you just have to understand that. That comes with the territory. But Ohtani will still provide you the other four categories at elite levels. You just have to understand
that. And 163 plate appearances, I did not see him. That was one of the biggest things, biggest questions in draft season was just how much he was going to be in the lineup, So... Yeah, 163 plate appearances. He's playing every day. I wish I had him more.
That's what I'm saying. Even as just the hitter, if you can utilize him as both the hitter and pitcher, the dude is just a cheat code right now because he strikes out the world when he pitches too. So it's pretty nasty stuff, man. Ohtani is just awesome. I love being able to see this. And then talking about the pitcher, a 2.10 ERA for Ohtani, 3.19 xERA, 3.59 FIP and XFIP. So even with regression due, he's still a mid-threes ERA guy, mid to low threes ERA guy. And with a strikeout, what's the walks are a bit of an issue. The walks are scary.
Yeah.
But he's still putting up an 18.2 K minus walk rate, and that's with a 7 walks per 9. I think he's been better of late, though, hasn't he, with the walks? I got to look that up a little bit. Let's see, with the walks, yeah. So he had 1 walk in his last outing in a 7-inning outing, 6 the outing before,
yeah, like 6 before
but
that.
But two. So in 2 of his last 3 outings, he's had 2 or less walks and pitched at least 5 innings in each. So in two of 3 for Ohtani, we've seen better command and control. That's important because his stuff is so electric. If he can get it, if he can just control it, command it, or if he just command it better or control whatever, get it near the zone, people are probably going to miss. So obviously the strikeouts are there. He's throwing deep in the games, even with the walk issues. I'm willing to bet on the walks improving again. The walks are being heavily affected by the fact that Ohtani started off the season with a 5 walk game, a 6 walk game, and then he threw another 6 walk game. But again, 2 out of the last 3 have been 2 walks or less. So Ohtani might be on the right track to correcting those walk issues. But it could make sense. He just came off Tommy John last year. You know, like he finished off the year, kind of had re-aggravated it, came back this year. And the control is something that usually takes a minute to come back from TJ. But I don't know. I'm in on Ohtani, man. The dude is just so damn good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, we're about a quarter way through the season now. And I mean, he's at about 25 innings. So. Yeah, I mean, we could see, you think he gets to, he probably gets to 100 innings.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You get 100 innings out of him. He's played outfield twice now on days he pitched. So he might gain outfield eligibility, which further just, it's nuts. Like, he has to be a first-round pick next year if he gains outfield eligibility, right? Especially, well, daily leagues. Weekly leagues, he's still going to be pushed down a bit because people are still going to be apprehensive about him playing every day. But I still think he's a top two-round pick regardless, right?
Oh, yeah. Top 2 rounds for sure.
Yeah, so that's Shohei Ohtani we're talking about. I talked about Chris Bryant. Don't know if you really have much to add about him, but I was just curious on your thoughts, maybe quick thoughts. Do you buy in on Chris Bryant's resurgence?
Yeah. It looks like we're just getting a healthy Chris Bryant bounce back here.
That's pretty much what it came down to when I started talking about him as well. I'm like, if you look at 2020, you throw that out the window because the dude wasn't healthy. Chris Bryant is what we thought Chris Bryant would be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's... I mean, and the power is actually coming back with a dead-end ball. That's the encouraging part. So I think Chris Bryant we all just, like, anybody who believes in him, good for you. You got a little bit of a steal there. What about Bo Bichette? He was a guy that was, like, people were just torn in either direction this year. Bo Bichette posted 9 home runs so far with 7 stolen bases. I know people question stolen bases because he had, what, 4 in the first half? Or 4 prior to getting injured last year, 3 or 4, came back, got maybe 1, or I don't think he even stole, actually, when he came back from the injury. And we weren't sure, was that due to him just playing it safe, coming back from the injury? Or did Bichette did they say, you know what, we're not going to run with you? But those questions have been answered, you know? He's not only has he stolen 7 bases, he's been caught stealing 0. And that is a big deal with stolen bases, success rate. Because we know the speed's there, we know the athleticism's there. But Bo Bichette, he's doing all the right things. He's batting .275 in the process with a WOBA of .350 and a WRC plus of .124, which is in line with his WRC plus of 2020. Bo Bichette, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I actually have a lot of Bo. I loved getting Bo there in the second round. He's aggressive. He's kind of always been aggressive, swings a lot, but he makes a lot of contact. He makes good contact. He's just a really good hitter. Love that he's been aggressive on the base pass too. Both him and Semien there at the top have been just a really dynamic, you know, him, Semien and Guerrero, that whole lineup, man. I think that was the biggest question mark was just, you know, how much was he going to run and up to 7 steals. I think he's definitely justified his second round draft cost right now. And yeah, I mean, he's awesome.
Do you see him as a first rounder next year, possibly?
Yeah. Especially if
Trevor Story would fall.
Trevor Story's traded. He's already ahead of Lindor at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You have other guys that were going ahead of him, like Cody Bellinger and Christian Yelich. I think he's ahead of them. So yeah, I think in a 15 team league, I think Bichette's for sure, like probably in that back into the 15 teamers first round.
If he goes 25-25, he's gonna be a top 5 pick next year.
Oh man,
25-20. If Bichette goes 25-20 with a 275 plus batting average, there's no way he's not top five or top seven pick next year. Like he'll push ahead of J-Ram, which people might not realize how J-Ram has been like quietly as good as ever, and no one pays attention to the guy because he's on the worst team in baseball. Well, not the worst, one of the worst teams in baseball, because the Indians just pissed me off. I don't know. I honestly haven't even looked at the standings over there because I don't really care about the AL right now. Do you even look at standings this early? Isn't it like too early to look at standings anyway? Cleveland's in second. Holy crap. I forgot how bad that division is. I thought they'd be close to 500, honestly. But what I didn't realize is how bad Minnesota's been. Holy crap.
Oh, Minnesota's been, they've been one of the worst teams for sure. I mean, I'm paying a little attention just because I'm surprised that my Giants are there at the top right now. We'll see how long that lasts.
Well, you guys did that for a moment last year, remember? Like when you guys should have been selling, you end up being buyers because you were competing. The Giants kind of do that. They're sneaky like that. But you also had LA dealing with injuries. You've had the Dodgers, the LA are the Dodgers in that division. You've had the Padres also dealing with COVID, and they're still second in that division. I'd be surprised. I'm sorry, San Fran fans. I'm sorry, George, but I'd be very surprised if you sustained that. However, one last thing was good pointing out by sports_nut 2051. Angels play at NL Parks in May and June. More chances for outfield eligibility for Ohtani, basically. That's a very, very good point. I'm pretty sure he's going to play, too. You got to think he's going to play the outfield during those games. But speaking of the Giants, right into, I got to bring him up, right? Anthony DeSclafani.
Good outing today.
Come on. Not even just that. Just great year. Yeah. Maybe it's because, I don't know, fly ball pitcher leaves one of the better hitters' ballparks in baseball, goes to one of the better pitcher ballparks in baseball. His home run to fly ball rate, lowest of his career. The ground ball rate, though, this is the one that gets you. The ground ball rate, he's getting more ground balls than ever, 54.4%. He's able to keep the ball on the ground. Paired with going to a place that will help suppress the home run issues, give me all the Tony DeSclafani shares, please. I want them all. And you're actually seeing a pitch mix change here as well. Tony Disco is throwing more sliders. He's actually the most thrown pitch. He's throwing more sliders this year, less fastballs, more sinkers. And that makes sense. If you're throwing more sinkers, you should be able to get more weak contact, or at least ground balls on it. And he's just kind of changing who he is, and he's successful. I'm buying in because I'm biased, and I want to believe that I am right about him, even if I am a year early. But what are your thoughts? You're the Giants fan. Tell me about Tony Disco here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you. I liked Tony Disco coming into the year. He had been improving year over year going into 2020, but started off injured last year and then really just couldn't get right. And then, love the park change. I think, he historically has struggled against left-handed hitters. And so going from Cincinnati to San Francisco, where those left-handed hitters are hitting the ball towards the cove, it's hard to hit it over the wall and put one into the water. It just is.
I should take steroids. We've seen that.
Right. So love the park change. And then it's starting to get to the point where, anyone that the Giants pick up, you kind of trust them at this point. You look at Alex Wood, Tony Disco, Kevin Gausman is pitching out of his mind. Like what they're doing there with those reclamation projects. And he's just the latest one, and he's looking really good. Another really good outing today against his former team in Cincinnati.
But you also mentioned Tony Disco was kind of showing signs of this, being this guy in late 2019, the second half of 2019. He had a 3.49 ERA, and he was, again, the strikeouts aren't there. The K-minus walk rate is what, roughly 16%, I believe. But he was showing this potential to just be a better pitcher in the second half of 2019. The ground ball rate was also 48.4% that year in the second half. Came into 2020, you mentioned Anthony DeSclafani got hurt, wasn't the same, wasn't able to get right. Enter 2021, same pitcher, new home, new place to call home, and with it came success, or has come success. And again, you have to just buy into the Giants knowing what they're doing with these guys. But we mentioned him at the top of the show, Jazz Chisholm, the Marlins' own. He got the guy we got in return for Gallen, which at the time people thought that was a bad deal. I actually ran into which prospect guy was it? It doesn't matter. Wow. Blessings. I think it was Chris Blessings. I ran into him at First Pitch Florida. He asked me how I felt about the deal, and I told him I still felt good about it. But this was then. But then I was like, well, then now I'm not sure because Gallen was you know, killing it. Gallen was absolutely crushing it at the time. He told me I should still feel good about it, that Jazz is such a really high-end prospect. Don't be so concerned. And I should have listened. But I do see some red flags here, obviously. However, you can't deny the flashy tools. A home run tonight gives him 5 on the year. 8 stolen bases so far, unless he's stolen one since we started recording. I don't know what to say here. I mean, I see the red flags, but I'll let you speak on them first.
No, I love Jazz. I'm completely buying in here as well. You know, kind of touched on it in the beginning. Not sure that he's a 300 hitter, but I mean, and the 31% strikeout rate, it's like, it's not a whole lot of swing and miss when you look at it. It's really, you know, he's kind of picking his spots, only a 41% swing rate. So he's not overly aggressive. O-swing is solid, 28%. You know, he's double-digit walk rate. So it's not a whole lot of swing and miss. Whereas, you know, you look at someone who kind of did this a couple years ago and Keston Hira had similar stats, right? Had a similar start. Was hitting the ball extremely hard.
Don't you do that to me?
I just don't. It's just different, you know. I'm just pointing out how, like, you can look at the strikeout rate, but it's a different in the way that it's coming. So I think he doesn't have an infield fly ball yet. I mean, he's you know almost a 18% barrel rate. So he's picking his spots. He's picking them well, and he's just crushing it. Yeah, I love what I'm seeing from Jazz.
His 30% strikeout rate is like Moncada's. It's actually like overly patient and picking his spots. The difference is Jazz is flashing plus tools, whereas Moncada just hasn't been since getting COVID almost, it seems like.
But last year in his small, you know, sample 62 plate appearances, it was a 30% strikeout rate, but I mean, he had a 90% zone contact rate, you know. It's so I buy it. I buy what he's doing. And I mean, with his speed, you kind of expect a higher BABIP anyways. I mean, you know, I don't think that the batting average is going to necessarily come crashing down. He can hit 260, 270 plus from here on out and really go. We see him going crazy right now on the bases. Yeah, 8 steals, hit another homer today. So
another reason I'm buying. Sorry to interrupt. I am bad at that. Another reason to buy in terms of the BABIP not necessarily coming crashing down, the batting average not necessarily crashing down, that line drive rate of 22.9% is damn good, and it comes with him putting the ball to all fields. He's hitting just about 30% or better to all fields. So, again, goes to show you not only is he willing to pick his spots, but he's also willing to go to all fields and utilize the field, so there is no reason to think that he can't sustain a higher BABIP, and then you add the plus speed. The only concern I have is, again, he's not swinging all that much. You mentioned it's like a below league average swing rate for Chisholm, but Jazz also has an above average whiff rate. So that's, you know, even though he's swinging more, he's still whiffing a high amount too. So there is still swing and miss there. It's just not as noticeable given the fact that he's more patient at the plate. However, I think even if he hits closer to 250, which I do think, unfortunately, we're going to see him hit closer to 250. Anybody who has a strikeout rate that high, even though he's walking a good amount and showing good plate discipline, I think Chisholm's going to end up ultimately hitting closer to 250. It's still a flashy 250. It goes back to being like Ohtani, where you give me 250, but the guy is going to give me 25 stolen bases and 15 to 20 home runs in the process. So Jazz is a guy that, man, like, I'm encouraged by that, because if he chooses to swing more, maybe we get more numbers out of him. It's hard to say. He's still, the thing is it's a small sample with Jazz, because we didn't see a whole lot of him in 2020. We didn't see, you know, so I want to, and then if you look at the minor league track record, right towards in 2019, the walk rates really spiked up for Jazz, but then the K rate as well was kind of rough. So the sample is just, I want to see more to believe that he's not going to be like that 250-ish hitter. But regardless, again, I'll take 250 with Jazz Chisholm, given the tools that come with it and the potential. And he's leading off, so the bats are there, playing time is there. And we have a request from Wick here. Again, a faithful guy who comes into my streams every night and talks baseball. He wants to hear about Tyler Glasnow. What's there to say about Tyler Glasnow? The dude is just a stud. Here, we'll look him up. He wasn't even on the show notes. I will look him up. Let's talk Tyler Glasnow. I know he added the new pitch, and it's been absolutely amazing. He calls it a slutter. Not making that up. That's what he calls it.
Yeah, no, it's been working for him for sure. I was skeptical. I was not buying, but it's definitely worked for him.
I think we all wanted to see it, is what it is. We all wanted to see it more. And not only is he throwing it more, and not only did he introduce a new pitch, but he's throwing it 30% of the time. Like, that is not a common thing to do. You don't just, a pitcher doesn't just say, you know what, I'm going to start throwing a new pitch. Oh, you know what else? I'm going to throw it the second most in my arsenal at such a high clip. This, and this comes with that curveball we know he has that induces whiffs and swings and misses. That fastball that is absurdly hard to hit because of how he releases the ball. He gets really good. It's like, he's really good at, I can't think of the word. Oh man, it's going to bother me. Either, it doesn't matter. He's really good. Pretty much how he releases it and how long, because of his extension and all that, he gets on it. The fastball plays up even better. It makes it harder for hitters to find and track it. So he has the pitches now. A third pitch was all he needed. And man, it's,
yeah, and it's helped him go deeper into games. I mean, he has 7 outings now of at least 6 innings,
which you don't see with Rays pitchers usually. However, somebody said you don't see it with good Rays pitchers. A shot at Blake Snell. So, but yeah, man, you're getting it all. You're getting everything here, and every underlying indicator suggests he is a low 2 ERA guy to mid 2s. I don't see that realistically, but I think he's a high 2s, low 3s at this point until he proves otherwise. He's keeping the walks. He's keeping the walks, you know, I'm trying to say under control, but that's just like a weird pun because get it, walks, control. Yeah. It's a weird pun, but dude, we're talking 2 straight years of a K-minus walk rate of 29% or better. I'm with you. I wasn't I wasn't buying into Glasnow, not because I didn't think it was possible, but because the potential, like I always knew the potential was there. I just wanted to see it first, and now I'm just going to be a year late. He's a top 7 pitcher, probably. Him, Corbin Burns make that leap.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who else. You have Scherzer still belongs up there, but maybe you wanted Scherzer being another year older next year. Maybe you'd want to put him behind him, just play it safe. But you'd have Scherzer because he's been absurd too. Glasnow, Corbin Burns, Cole, DeGrom, and Bieber. Probably top 6, right?
Aaron Nola's still.
Nola's no fun. Nola's no. He's not flashy. He's doing Nola things. He's throwing that fastball more. He needs to stop throwing that damn fastball as much. But you get my point, though. My point is those guys took that leap for Burns, and Burns didn't make the list tonight. But we got to move along here. We're trying to keep it about an hour or less. Moving over to, you know what? Let's talk about a guy I was wrong about. I told someone to drop this guy out of their list of guys because he was coming off a terrible week. He was coming off, and he had like a 30-something percent strikeout rate. And again, I'm very sketchy. That's not the word I was looking for.
Skeptical.
Very skeptical. Very skeptical about guys that strike out that much with no major league track record. And this was another one. Adelis Garcia. What wrong was I? Because again, he had that week. Garcia came up and crushed for a week. The next week, something happened. He was terrible. I was like, oh. And this guy gave me a list of like 3 names. I'm like, I gotta go Garcia. He's like, why would you go Garcia? He's been doing good. I'm like, he did really good the first week. The second week, he did so bad. And the other guys were more proven, more proven commodities, guys I trusted in. Well, egg on my face because Adelis Garcia has been absurdly amazing. I'm using the word absurd tonight because some of these guys are blowing my mind. Garcia has 11 home runs, 4 stolen bases. But again, that 28.9% strikeout rate with a BABIP of .342. I feel like that's high for him. He's batting .296. The guy's only hit .250 above .250 in his career twice, and that was only twice. But that was in 2017. Like, he hasn't done it since then. And since then, the strikeouts have only trended up. Today. I'm sorry?
He stole another base today, too.
Did he? But here's the thing. I don't think the Rangers are going to give him a red light, but he has 3 caught stealing in out of what? 8 attempts now? Like, it's not even a 50% success rate at this point. Or sorry, I can't. No, wait. Yes, it's more than 50%. I can't do math, but you get my point. Almost a third of his attempts are caught stealing at this point. Like,
yeah, I mean, he seems like someone who is going to be streaky. I mean, he doesn't walk too much, and he does have a lot of swing and miss.
Thank you. So, I'm not crazy.
No, yeah, no. He definitely has a profile of someone who's going to be streaky. And right now, he's just, you know, he's on a hot streak, but.
Gosh, it's gonna 39.9% O swing rate. Let's just get that clear. 39.9% O swing. That's how much he's swinging outside the zone. A league average is 30.7. Anyway, as you were. Oh my goodness.
Sixteen percent swinging strike rate.
For context, Garcia's, you mentioned 16% swing strike rate, with the league average being around 11.4%.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely love the 16% barrel rate, 54% hard hit rate. There's no doubt he hits the ball hard. He crushes it. But yeah, this is definitely a profile of someone who is going to be a little streaky, especially with the low walk rate and the high strikeout rate. So there's going to be some ups and downs. He's not going to be a 300 hitter. Yeah, he's hitting 297 right now. He's not going to hit 297. But yeah, I mean, on a Rangers team where he's likely going to play, and, you know, I don't think that team is going to give him a red light. So even if he's just, you know, even if the success rate isn't great, maybe he keeps running, ends up with, you know, maybe a dozen steals by the end of the year. And yeah, if he gives you, you know, 30 homers and a dozen steals, maybe the batting average comes down to like a 260 or so. I mean, at the end of the year, that's going to be a really good pickup there.
Yeah, like I said, I was wrong. I didn't buy in. And regardless, because just the tools alone should have told me, hey, give him a chance. I did not. And I let other people spend their fab on him. And again, first week I was wrong. Second week I was right. And then I've been wrong ever since. But more red flags, again, going back to just that swing and miss, the contact rates are all below average. The chase rates and swing strike rates are above average. And Garcia's a guy that I just want to harp on it. Like, I shouldn't have to, but I am. It's just not sustainable right now. He also has a 42.6% ground ball rate.
So you'd be looking to sell high right now.
Yes, but I don't usually offer that advice because I don't do trades anymore. But if I were to do a trade, I would offer Adolis Garcia to somebody right now. I'm just trying. But here's the thing. You say, oh, sell high on him. Sure, but for what? For who?
Right.
You have to get a need out of him. I got to look up struggling players or somebody who's just maybe off. Do you think right now, I don't know, let me look up pitchers. Because most guys, here's the thing, you can't sell off a piece like Adolis Garcia for another outfielder. For a position, you might need to go ahead and get yourself a pitcher. Could you get a, I think you could do like a Kevin Gausman. I know as good as Gausman's been, I think people might view Adolis Garcia in that same light as Gausman as like, oh, look at these guys, both breaking out, both having big years, both can sustain it. I believe in Kevin Gausman. Who, again, another guy I wasn't really in on this year. But I believe in him more than I believe in Garcia. And I think right now you could probably make that switch.
Yeah, I have a lot of Kevin Gausman.
I know you do.
I'm not letting them go.
I keep calling him Gausman. Garcia. I don't know why. Gausman. But you get my point, though. I think you can – I keep calling the wrong name. Yeah, that's my bad. Kevin Gausman. But you get my point. It's like, I think you can get that. Maybe you can get a Zach Wheeler. Wheeler's, you know, kind of – what is he? Last, I think he had one bad outing lately. No, not even. I swear he did. Oh yeah, he did. It was three outings ago. But maybe it's Zach Wheeler. He's kind of a fringe top 100 overall guy right now. And I'm still just trying to find names.
Yeah, given how pitching has been, it might be a little hard. But I don't know. Yeah, I know. Maybe someone like Jose Barrios.
Well, right now Aaron Nola is not pitching great. Like over the last 2 weeks, he's put up a 4.686 ERA. Over the year, it's been like a mid threes. The strikeouts are barely a K per inning. Maybe someone's down on him. I mean, I doubt it, but it's worth a shot. I don't know. Again, how about Plesac? There you go. There's a good name. Plesac turning the corner, coming off a couple good outings. Kind of, he actually struggled tonight. You know, so far he's struggling tonight. Four innings with a 9 ERA through four innings right now for Zach Plesac. But would you sell a Adolis Garcia for Zach Plesac? As I sat here and finally found a name that actually seems realistic.
Yeah, that actually does seem that's a little more realistic. Someone
and like Barrios was a good one too, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Barrios, Plesac range. You know, maybe if someone is stashing like a Carlos Carrasco or Jesús Luzardo, those would be easy to get. Maybe for someone like Adolis Garcia.
I don't know if I. Yeah, I think for the injured guys, I'm afraid of any pitcher with an injury. Although Lizardo's injury is a pinky, like that's structure. That's not really like an arm issue, like shoulder or elbow. So that one, but I'm scared of Cookie, man. He can't get healthy, but he should be back soon.
Yeah, yeah. I think someone like Plesac and Barrios, right around in that range, is kind of perfect.
Yeah, but would you do it for Plesac? Is what I was actually asking. Like, if you had Garcia, would you trade Garcia for Plesac right now if you needed pitching?
Yeah, if I needed pitching, I would.
See, I don't know, but I'm also apprehensive to continue to buy in to Plesac. Let's move on. We have a couple more names. So let's try to be faster on these, but you know, you and I don't go fast. How about we just pair these two together? Both previous top prospects, both prospect pedigree, both having their breakouts. One just got injured, but will be back soon-ish. Byron Buxton and Carlos Rodon, do you buy what you're seeing from both of them? And if so, how much are you buying in? And if not, why? I shouldn't have paired them together, but I felt the need to.
I think it's perfect. And yeah, I mean, I am. Both of them really have been amazing.
Here's the problem. I gave you both names. And I'm like, which one do I start with? Let's just start with Rodon. Why not? I just pulled up his page first. He's just looking so good. He's upped his fastball usage a ton. Again, another pitch mix change. Slider less, changeup less, and completely dropped the sinker. But he added a curveball, which he barely utilizes. He dropped the sinker 2 years ago, by the way, which that's relevant. But the part that's encouraging is the velo increase.
Velocity is up.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The velo increase across the board. We're talking pretty much two ticks across the board. That's crazy. He's healthy, but you got to think that, is this sustainable? Can he stay healthy? He's putting up numbers that we've never seen him do, and he's in a contract season. Can Carlos Rodon stay healthy? I don't know, but I am buying what I'm seeing. The change in pitch mix, the strikeouts, the velo, it's all there. Tell me, you believe, right? I'm not alone here?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, pitching is just, it's been rough. I think that's the only question mark there is the health with these guys. And the last time we saw Rodon come close to this kind of velocity was back in 2016. And he posted a 4.04 ERA, but the underlying metrics looked even better. 165 innings that year, over a strikeout per inning. Yeah, I mean, I'm buying it.
And another reason to be optimistic is the velocity hasn't dipped for Carlos Rodon over the starts. Like, I actually looked up the start-by-start chart here, and the fastball is sustaining 94 to 95 per start, and everything else has sustained its velo all season, only the curveball dipping. But that's fine, because a curveball is giving you separation and velocity is fine. Like, that's good with a guy like Rodon, so he has that fourth pitch that he's not really utilizing it anyway. So, I mean, it doesn't really matter how slow he throws it. He's not barely throwing it. But regardless, it's good. It's like, there's reason for optimism in the velo because he's been able to sustain the velo increase from start to start. And the weather's about to warm up, so we might see Rodon's velo possibly go up. I don't know how that's going to work with the warm weather. I know, because pitchers usually do better in warm weather. So they say. So pitchers say, I should even say. You know, pitchers themselves. But yeah, Rodon, I'm in, man. I'm just, it's one of those, like, is Rodon taking that Corbin Burns step where next year he's going to be going really high and people are going to have to be either really in or really out on him? But I think maybe with a full year of production, it'll be easier to buy Carlos Rodon compared to how hard it was to buy into a Corbin Burns.
Yeah. And I mean, if he stays healthy the rest of the season, yeah, absolutely. I could see that.
That's the problem, though. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to buy in at the new cost next year. Because if he sustains all these changes and all this production for a full season, we're talking about guys probably going to end up with, like, what, a mid-3 ERA, mid to high. Like, if he's high 3 ERA, he won't be so high. But we'll say mid-3 ERA, solid strikeout rate, good amount of wins. Like, he's going to outperform his numbers by far. Carlos Rodon is going to be a stud if he can sustain. We're talking about a guy who's going to jump so high up draft boards, it's going to be hard to justify. But anyway,
it might be one of those where, like, the history is just a little too much for me to gamble on.
So yeah, but then we did the same thing with Corbin Burns, where Burns didn't have the history of even performing to this high of a level prior to a shortened 2020 season. So you either had to be in or out, and people who are in are being rewarded. I think Rodon's going to be a similar situation. That's why. And I feel like I'm going to do the similar thing and be okay with the price, but not commit either way. And end up with no shares, and then I'll be either really wrong or really right. But, and Buxton, going to him, 9 home runs, 5 stolen bases. We knew the speed was there. However, in 2020 for Buxton, the power made an appearance. He put up 13 home runs in just 39 games. We knew the health was always going to be a concern. He's not going to hit 370 this year. He has a 417 BABIP. The strikeouts are down. The walks are a little up from last year, but Buxton, I really do think Buxton can hit close to 260 at least. But the power gains, the speed's there. He was batting towards the top of the order. Buxton, I believe, was breaking out. I still think he'll come back and be just fine. And the big thing, the selling point for me was when he pretty much said that the game has slowed down for him. I think he made a comment along those lines. And somebody like that with this pedigree, with this skill set and potential, when they sit there and tell you the game is finally slowed down for them, they can see the game better than ever, that's something you can't really quantify in the numbers, but you might see it, like, and you're seeing it in the way he's just performing. So Byron Buxton's a guy that I think this is the breakout. I think it's going to continue and gets back. At least I'm hoping for that. And I'm willing. I think you can still buy low. I think there's still a buy low window because, what, is he still 2 to 3 weeks away?
Yeah, well, he's doing light baseball activities.
Yeah, you know the stuff. You follow the news more than I do.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't started running, so it might still be a little bit. But, I mean, if you can buy him right now from, you know, the person holding him, then, yeah, I would. And, I mean, if you have him, he's already given you 9 homers, 5 steals, .370 batting average. I mean, you're just, you know, we kind of expected this. Not really expected, but, you know, it was always a possibility. We kind of knew just with Buxton that this was a possibility. So you kind of bake that in, right? And, you know, when he comes back, I think you're going to hit the same. Right, yeah.
Now, the issue is, again, that there is some swing and miss in this game still. The guy's still chasing more. I mean, not more than last year, but Buxton still has an O-swing well above league average, a swing strike rate above league average, almost like Adolis Garcia. The difference is he's making more contact than Garcia, but still not enough. So you have the swing and miss in the game. You have a little bit of aggressive approach. You're going to see Buxton struggle. He's going to go through a cold spell. That batting average will drop. But, again, you're banking on the skills and the power gains. I think that's the part we should highlight because you know with Buxton, if he's hitting 250, he was going to steal you 20 to 25 bags, and that's what you were kind of betting on. But he's going to do that now. I think he can still, I mean, maybe not with the time missed, but he can give you that type of pace. Buxton can give you that type of 25 stolen base pace with a 25 to 30 home run pace. You're seeing it. Max exit velocity is career high. Barrel rate, he's barreling the ball for the best of his career. And it's the second straight season of a double-digit barrel rate. Again, showing that the growth in 2020 wasn't fake. It was a legitimate skill growth. And the exit velocity, obviously, I don't look at average exit velocity. That's why it's the first time I'm mentioning it on the show right now. But it's also a career high. It fits my narrative, so obviously I got to mention it, right? The hard hit rate is a career high. Everything is a career high. And yes, it's a lot of it's because of how hot he started the year. But Buxton is very much showing a sustained period of growth from 2020 forward. And I think that it's important to realize that it kind of seems legit at this point. On the fly here, give me a second. I will pull up his stats from 2020 till now combined. Give us a better, like a large, you know, a bigger picture of what he's done over a larger sample. So 233 plate appearances, 22 home runs, 7 stolen bases, a 25.3% strikeout rate, and 2.6% walk rate. Not great, Bob. But still, he's been batting .302 since last year with a .315 BABIP. So, like, the BABIP actually isn't bad compared to the batting average, which is fantastic. Only caught stealing once, by the way. So, 7 stolen bases for Buxton since the beginning of 2020. And plus, again, we know that's legit. .356 ISO. Wow. Yeah, he's just been crazy. Hard hit rate's been 52.7% since last year. The 17% barrel rate since the beginning of 2020 for Buxton. 984 OPS. Gosh, WRC plus 163. The dude has been absolutely amazing for the last 3 months of actual baseball. So Byron Buxton, I'm in. I think he's legit. We're going to see him decline, of course, given the start. But there's a buy low window now, and he could come back and struggle, and then you could buy low even cheaper. But I still think right now, like, again, if you're sitting pretty, if you've avoided all the injury monsters this year, somehow, if you've been lucky enough to do that, I can't go out and buy Buxton because in the leagues I have trades in, I already have Buxton, and he's sitting on my IL with like 5 other people. So it's been a bad year for injuries, man. I feel like we say that it's every year, but is this year like the worst year we've had? Because I feel like, again, every year we say this.
I know. I feel like this is definitely the worst year. I mean, between the injuries and also dealing with COVID popping up here and there, you know.
Yeah.
Yankees and Padres are still, you know, we're still missing Tatis. And, you know, and then guys going missing a game here and there, you know, getting the vaccine and all that. It's, yeah, just dealing with everything over these first month and a half has just been crazy.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for tonight, man. It's been a lot of fun. We haven't done this in a while, so we finally got a podcast out. This is going to be audio version as well. If those listening want to check us out, we're going to be doing some more of these live. We enjoy the back and forth from people listening. Again, you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at @Mike_Curley and George is @Roto_Nino. Obviously, if you want to check us out on Twitch or me out on Twitch, because that's my thing right now on twitch.tv/CPK_MLB. That's where, again, you can rewatch these. You can come in live and comment and, you know, talk baseball with us. A guy asked us about Tyler Glasnow tonight, and we talked about Tyler Glasnow. That's how that works. So, again, we appreciate you and your support. And, of course, we'll just talk to you soon.